Good morning. This is Backstage Pass with your host, the Raven, and the Wizard Jay on 12radio.com. And we are excited to be bringing you a fresh new round of interviews with the talented and gifted advisors from 12 Listen and the host from 12 Radio. We'd like to invite you to join in on the show by joining our private Facebook chat room, where you can post comments or ask questions for the guests. And I will let Wizard Jay take the mic and explain how to do that.
Hi, Raven. Yes, I will. You can join the conversation by heading over to 12radio.com. That's the number 12radio.com. Click on the chat button there on the left-hand side of the screen. It does open up a new window. It is a private Facebook group with the same name, 12radio. Once you see it, send over an invitation if this is your first time. And once you're in, you will see our banner, Backstage Pass, at the top of the page, and you will be able to comment in, or join the conversation, that is, in the comment section. We would love to see you over there. So it's so great to be back and live with you, Raven. Who do we get to be on the show today? Raven.
Oh, in the hot seat today, we have Psychic Cat. Psychic Cat. Her show is The Intuition Hour on Tuesdays. And Pat has been with 12 for 16 and a half years. Ready to go. So without any further ado, let me bring her right on in. Hi, Pat. Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Raven. And hello, Jay. Nice to be with you both today.
Yay. We're excited to have you with us. Thank you for coming on this morning.
Thank you so, so much. I'm so excited to be with you.
So we
16 and a half years. This is amazing. So you had a radio show that long also?
Almost. About within 1 year that I came to 12listen.com, I also, we started on 12 Radio, which used to be another station or a show, whatever. We did a bunch of things with Soul's Journey back then, who happened to be my very best friend now of, how old am I going to be? Oh yeah, 53. Okay, so 53 year friendship we share. And she's the one actually who introduced me to Mark way back then. So very, very grateful. And we used to have some radio together. And Raven, if you would have told me then where we would be today, I would have never believed it.
Same is true here. Yeah.
Well, and we were talking before the show, and I wanted to ask you this since it came up in our pre-discussion. And you were doing radio even before 12 and the whole 12 universe. What was that like? And from our conversation, it sounded like it was more mainstream. And how was that for you being on a more mainstream radio station?
I was very involved at one time with a rock and roll station in Florida in my local community. And it was, you know, pretty much all of South Florida from Miami to Port St. Lucie, Vero Beach, like that, the Treasure Coast. And so I did this psychic drive live at 5.
I love it.
I was just nervous. I was young. I was like right out of my Saturn return cycle, new mother, single mother, two babies, you know, just, but I really stepped into, I think, what would be a very interesting time of my life where I just happened to meet these people who worked at this radio station. And they're like, we want to make you a character psychic and we want to do this. And we did it and we ran with it. And we did a lot of entertainment, a lot of clubs, a lot of like, you know, just a totally different scene in the nightclub world and just rock and roll, like concerts and every rock star you knew we were with. It just a really amazing adventure and a very short-lived one because it definitely wasn't sustainable or survivable at that pace. So through the layers and levels of being an intuitive for all these years, you know, things ebb and flow and we get different experiences, and it's definitely an adventure, this journey, for sure. Very grateful.
Do you feel that there was a different kind of people that would call in and chat with you on the radio station back then versus the type of clients that you have now? Do you feel like
Oh, yeah.
Totally different. I figured they would be, but I just was curious, what would you say is the biggest difference?
Let's see. We go from, at that time, we were still so, you know, quote unquote, not really yet taken as seriously as we are today, though people started to respect it back then. I would say that a lot of it was rock and roll party people, because I worked for a radio station that played a lot of rock and roll, a lot of hippie stuff. And I think that at that time it was more like, hey, they wanted that instant gratification of intuitive like hits, or what's going to happen to my date on Saturday, or am I going to get to meet Mick Jagger? Am I going to do that? It was like basically a party crowd of people. And then through the years, of course, before I met Mark, I transitioned into private office work and one-on-one readings that became more serious, and then working at bookstores and crystal shops and things like that, which I happened to be at the same location for 13 years back then as well, and in that kind of environment. And then when I met Mark, I was in my last semester of school, and I was assisting the chairperson of the English department at the university. And I was just going through a really huge transition. And I met Mark. I was introduced to him by my very dearest friend in this life. And I didn't even know I could really do, quote unquote, great phone readings like we can one-on-one at that point in person. You know, I was super curious about it, but I was really, I didn't know how it could go. How could I sit there and talk to somebody on the phone for an hour? And I was tested, and I was intensively tested at that time by several people of that. And it just all kind of happened really fast. And here we are all these years later. And honestly, I feel no different as far as the passion that I have for my work. At that time, there was a lot of creating going on and a lot of developing of new things, because psychic readings online were still a very new adventure. And so it was different in the development aspect of everything and how it would work long term. But here we are proving the fact that it's just a safe, honest, compassionate way to really share our gifts with others, and to definitely begin at that time it was newer. So we were trying to be a more advanced, or like now you can call for a veterinarian, you can call for your doctor, you have your doctor's appointment. Everything kind of followed suit in a natural progression in this lifetime. But I think that it was just a journey that is just proven itself over time to be really, of course, it's my longest and best part of my spiritual journey for sure. So it just turned out to align. You know, when something aligns with you, it doesn't become separate of you. It immediately, you know, you merge with what's meant to be. It's so easy. And unfortunately, as humans, we don't always get those easy alignments. You know, we have to work for certain things, or we have to try harder, or we have to climb up a few mountains and fall down a few times before we get to experience the level of success and alignment that I think we've had over these, you know, I don't have any intention on, I still have the same passion for it. I think it's grown to a place of different levels, different layers for everyone. We're taking it really to the top, trying to help people through the years and the layers of what the universe is calling for them to do, because people evolve. So we evolve with it. And if you're not evolving with it, you know, you're going to fall by the wayside. So I think it's so gratifying and so interesting and a true blessing. I there's no question. But of course, from back then to now, it's become a multi-layered, you know, really true heartfelt life experience, you know?
That's so
Back then, it
cool.
was like dancing on the dance floor, giving readings with a microphone, just totally like calling people out. It was just different. It was a very different, unique thing, you know?
One of the things you mentioned, though, is so incredible about your share, and that was the evolution, like going from being able to be up on a stage or on a dance floor with a microphone and be able to give a reading in that crazy environment. And then there is the ability to be able to, not know, am I going to be able to do this on the phone? Is this different? But then realize I got this, and you did it, and you did
I
it.
got it. You know who the person was who made me realize I can do it, or however our experience was so driven by you just knew there was a divine presence. John Joseph is the one of my testers. He was just, and I had amazing testers who are still in my life today. But John's session, I don't know if it was the comfort level or the experience. I can't even put it into words still today. And I had intensive readings, like Jay, like when you were tested compared to the way I was tested back then, it was a different, again, more evolution, more time. We just know right away. Back then, nobody really always knew how it was going to go, and today we really do. So it was an amazing experience. And I actually, when we have certain parts of our persona, our astrological personalities, say, I have a very difficult proofread. I am very, like if somebody would call me a doubting Thomas, maybe the proof is in the pudding. I have to see it to believe it. So I'm like the biggest doubter at first until I really prove it. And so I'm a very cautious person, and sometimes to the point where it's annoying. But that makes it more specific with the readings because I have to really, really know it's coming to pass to open my mouth. And over time, it becomes such a part of who you are that you never aren't really in that space or ready for that. Like you said, Jay, like being on the dance floor with a microphone and the party psychic, or I'm kind of embarrassed what they used to call me, but being from that place and coming to the now with the phones and really making those enormous, incredibly wonderful connections with others. It's unbelievable how our evolution has occurred in the spiritual world. People need us more than ever. And so I'm super happy to be here. I don't know what life is outside of it, and I wouldn't want to know. I really mean that today. And we know over time how we ebb and flow with certain things in the world and how people just taking a chance. I can honestly tell you there have been many miraculous moments in this lifetime that I've experienced and witnessed, but taking a risk, I don't, this is the one thing I'm grateful for, and I mean this with all my heart. I would never take the risk that I took then today. So I'm so grateful that because it's like it was divine timing. I don't have the guts I used to have. I could tell you that. I don't. So I'm glad I'm here, really, because I don't know what I mean? Like when you're at that certain point and I'm scratching my head going, what made you take that chance? Where was that? Because I don't know. I can't even put it into words. I'm so glad I did.
I think it's one of those things that to hear it in your story, we are uniquely designed to jump at certain opportunities, I feel like that are like ours, but we're not always ready. And or we don't, whether we think we're ready or we just really are not ready. And you were ready, you were both ready and you jumped. It's like to me, I see those as like steps of faith that we take that build over time. But if we don't take them, then we won't get to the bigger ones. And that's just incredible to hear, because I think sometimes too in our world, if you're quote gifted, I think people have this assumption that you just come out and you just can, you know, be amazing from the get-go, and not that we can't, but to be able to fine-tune and trust and hone our abilities, that takes practice, no matter how gifted you are. And you've done all of the above and then some, and it is just extraordinary to hear how that has unfolded for you, because we really all do have our own unique way into this world and into this work. It can be similar, but usually it's kind of unique how we all end up, you know, sitting here. So I'm so grateful to be here with you on the air. And Raven, I've been talking. What question do you have for Kat?
Which one? Oh God, there's so many questions that I have. So how old were you when you first realized that you were psychic, and what was that like?
I was actually really young, in my lower years of school, probably six-ish. I was realizing that I was listening to the priest speak in church. I was looking at the Bible. I was reading about the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians. This is the truth. And I was like, wait a minute, he's not acting like this. And I thought there was a disconnect from what I was listening to. And I really started going to God at that point, because I felt like there was something we were missing. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about the gifts of the Spirit. I really got triggered, but I also knew that that was a bad person. It was a very strange experience, Raven. And then a few years later, that was my first experience. And a few years later, I was in third grade, and I knew that my house was on fire. I had this crazy experience about it. I smelled smoke. I called, I lied to the teacher. I said I had to go to the bathroom, but I wanted to go call home, and she wouldn't let me go. And I got sick on her desk, and I ruined everything. Yeah, it was like an instant thing. And so I ran to the office. I was able, because I had to, and then she had to send me to the nurse to clean up, right? And then I wound up finding out that the oven was on fire in my house. And so that happened. And then
that's wild, by the way.
Yeah. Was there anyone home?
Yeah, they were home. It wasn't really that big of a deal. I mean, they had to redo the kitchen. Thank God everybody was good and everything was fine. But I could smell that. And I was like 4 miles away from home. I mean,
sitting in class, and all of a sudden you start smelling smoke.
Yes.
And you just intuitively know there's something wrong at home.
I did.
Oh, my God.
Because I was paranoid, you say. Like, you have to have some level of I don't know. I am a little paranoid.
Hypersensitivity, we'll call it. How about that?
I have a lot. Yes, you're right. Yeah. I'm super sensitive to everything. Like, people would never even think about what I think about to be prepared for anything. And so if you looked in my closets, under my bed, on my dresser, you wouldn't understand I'm prepared for anything. yeah, my poor husband. But in any case, I definitely, and my poor children, because I actually, Sydney is a little bit wiser than the average bear. She'll be like, come on, mom, you're a little over the top. And Nick is like, no, she's not. She knows what, you know. So they kind of go back and forth in between, you know. And it's quite comical to watch yourself in your offspring. It's, you know, like and I'm like, oh, God, did they get this from me? But I don't know. I think being extra sensitive is, through the years, you would think I was ready to accept. Like, this is the thing for all of you listening, and for you both as well. Like, when you have a calling to do something, it's incredibly, it's surprising that we can ignore what we know is real for us for so long. Try to get out of it, or we could try to get away from it. I tried to do so many other things, not to say this is who I am, you know, because it's scary to be on this path at times, but it's real. And if you all are called to your own gifts, if you have experiences that you want to tap into, or you know you're hearing that this is what you're supposed to do, just go for it, because that's the only, I don't really have any regrets, but if I could have one in my entire life, it would be to wait as long as I did before giving fully into it, before truly embracing it. And I embraced it with one foot out for many, many years, because I was Not knowing, I think I care too much what other people think. I always will, and it's part of who I am. But I think that if I could have cut that out of me, meaning not to really just be who I'm being called to be in this life for others, I probably could have helped a lot more people along the way, you know? And when you have a drive for that, no matter what you do in this lifetime, it's really something we should never ignore. And when I met Mark, he made me feel safe enough to, it was an instant connection, I felt. And he made me feel safe to express what was in me forever. And that is a gift. And no one has been able to, he has that, you know? He knows you before you know you. I could guarantee it. Every single human listening, I know he knows people. They know themselves. And so he was able to literally take those parts of me that he saw to bring them to the world to help others, because Mark is for the underdog. And I know he has a genuine desire to help other people. And I know that that's why it worked, because I did too, but I couldn't express it the way I should have expressed it along the years. And that's what happened when that magic hit, you know? So that it was a once in a lifetime, I feel a once in a lifetime meeting for sure.
Divine
Oh, I
appointment all the
love you
way.
listening. That's so cool. I love that. There are some
And
people that you're just destined to meet, and you
yeah.
know it when you meet them. You may not know what that destiny is, but
Yeah.
you just feel that hand of destiny upon you.
Yeah, that you can't put your finger on it, but this is crazy kind of thing. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. And I feel like we all do, and we have such an incredible such an incredible world. It's a little topsy-turvy out there in the world right now. But we as humans have evolved to a place, especially on a spiritual journey, you know, we need it more than ever. And there are so many people who were once afraid of it now stepping over to be with us in this community and in this, right? And at the same time, we're meeting people halfway because we're normalizing too. It's not just like Ouija boards and oh wait, what were they, pendulums back in the day? It's not just that anymore. It's like, hey, we are here to help you heal. How would you like to do it? You have a say in your growth. Do you want Tuesday's predictions? Sure, we'll deliver that. But how about some more? What about what's bothering you for where is your deep down? So when someone sees your deep down, you can go out in the world and help others see their deep downs. You know what I mean? So that's what I feel the alignment was when I started with Mark. And yeah, I don't everybody I don't have any intentions on going anywhere. I really want to make this the best. I'm heading into my Saturn return now, and it's an interesting adventure for sure. But and again, I'm safe because I know who I'm with, and so I'm excited to see what that brings to the world as well. And I'm sure it'll bring more. But for you all too, you know, when you meet people halfway, no matter where you are, it's not just the world being more accepting of what we do. It's more understanding. But we as well align with that in a sense of meeting in the middle and saying, hey, we understand more of what you need now, also, because we've all grown up in this community and we could give you everything that you need without fear, without any kind of hesitation, without that. You know, guys, come on, at one
Yeah,
time,
without judgment.
yeah, at one time
Absolutely.
it was weird to go to a psychic, you know, it's not anymore for sure.
I mean, I remember when I came out and left corporate America in 2012, it was still, even in 2012, very taboo. And I had people actually ask me, "Are you okay?" Like, actually
Right.
ask me, "Am I okay? Like, am I sane?" Like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
God.
so, and that was just in 2012. So, that stigma is still around, but like you said, not nearly like it used to be. And it's because of people like you, people people like me and others that are here doing this and are path paving a way. It's very similar to me in a sort of kind of way of the gay community and coming out and how that has been a thing, you know, and it was way more of a thing back in the day than it is now, but it's much easier for kids and young adults to come out. And it's all because of where we've been already, all of us, you know, collectively. And it is a process. And I think sometimes we want to have these big sort of events be like a light switch where we can like turn them on or turn them off, or they can happen fast, but it's usually it's an unfolding. It's usually not this just a one-time deal kind of a thing.
It's really incredible. And, you know, I've had, as we evolve as a society, and we have so many world events that we won't get into today. Unfortunately, we have to address certain things now that have become so very serious, and belief systems that are being challenged, and extraordinary amounts of realizing through the generations what that generational gap is, or where that abuse maybe started or began, and understanding we no longer need to be a victim of that, and we can step out of these topics and these things. But now it's like the choices that are now we have. I had an example this week. Actually, I have a few, but one particularly that really stood out and that was so incredibly heartfelt. I felt this woman literally had to choose a position that was the most incredible position. I hear music in the background over there, guys. They had to choose a work position that was so incredible, something she waited for her whole life. But it was actually, she had to clear fear because of the political arena over where she resides. And so it was like almost being afraid for her self, for her life, by choosing her dream position. And these serious topics now that we have to really get into with others, and how I'm so grateful we're prepared for this, because these are the things that have to, you know, like I said, multi-layer, multi-evolution. We're so evolved, and so there's so much healing that needs to be done. I think that's what we're being called for now, really.
Yeah, and we live in a society that glorifies victimization.
Oh yeah, totally. I agree. But we're able to bring people, we're able to raise people up from that now. We're able to see how do we change this in ourselves for these future generations? What is our task as humans? Where do we stand now to break some of the patterning that has occurred through the previous generations so that we can make it better for future generations? It's not just about when we come out of our victimization of selves, we can help others moving forward in our bloodlines, or we can help others in the world because we remove ourselves from that victimization.
Yes.
And it's so incredibly important for all of us to feel that way now, or to try to be that, you know?
And to know it happens on a cellular level. It happens in the DNA.
Totally.
That work of Dr. Bruce Lipton is just fascinating stuff, that when we heal these old wounds, there's literally a change in our DNA, and that stuff does not get passed on then to the future generations.
Yeah, it's really great. It's super, super great to really be aware of the layers that we're experiencing today, you know?
Kat, I have a question for you specifically around this topic. And do you have a process for yourself, or a process that you give your clients to help them with just this particular part, where if they are stuck in victim, or they are stuck in overwhelm, or just stuck?
Definitely.
Like a protocol that you could share some of it that could just be a way to help inspire people to move out of that space.
Good question, Jay.
I feel surrendering, like truly, truly surrendering, and also recognizing what it is some of us want, you know, at a certain point in time in our lives. Look, we don't wake up every day and say, we're not going to be a victim today. You know, we're going to, oh my God, I went through this this week because my This is so funny, but it's so age related. My medication was a little late, you know, my women medic, like my hormones basically, right? And I was laughing because I was, of course, like blame. I was like, okay, nobody, you know, I went into that. This is something so shallow and so stupid, but it's so real. It was real at the moment. And sometimes we do get into victimization at in the moment. They don't care about me. They don't care that my hormones are late. Blah, 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 blah. I gotta remind these people all the time. I gotta do everybody's job. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody moves as fast as I, you know, I went into that, right? And it's so dumb. And it was so funny. But the process would have basically been, wow, these people are having a really hard day. I should kind of give them some slack. So what has it turned out? Their phone lines and computers went down. You know what I mean? It wasn't anybody's fault, but we do this, and that was the most shallow example I could come up with of this. But the bottom line is, for everyone else, on a serious note, Jay, it is very, very individualized for me with every client. So I think surrendering, though, to what, surrendering to the idea for everyone to be able to move forward, because we tend as humans to see ourselves through the eyes of someone else, and we forget we can recreate ourselves through the eyes of ourself or our higher power and the combination of that. And what we do is we victimize ourselves because of other people or what they've done to us because of their own victimization. That's basically what it is. And we merge and we, you know, we blend. But I think that come your aunt, I guess my answer to that is everyone has to be handled in a very unique way, because what may work for you isn't going to work for someone else. But the key and the, I would say the basis and the foundation for all of it is to surrender. Because if you can't release it and let it go, there's a lot of people. There, I shouldn't say there's a lot of people. I'm sounding New York right now. There are many people in our lives, whether we meet them across the street or they're in our lives for 55 years or whatever it may be. Maybe we want to stay in that victimhood for a little bit longer because it feels safe, or maybe it's because it's all we've known. So letting the person see the actuality of what no longer exists, I think painting a picture for them in a way that they can really step outside themselves and look to see this is not happening anymore. Things like this, through imagery. Where do you want to see yourself? You know, there's I have like 100 answers for that. I hope I'm making sense.
Total
Yeah.
sense. Total sense. No, and that makes perfect sense too, that surrender would be one of the key first parts of the process, and then the rest would be very unique to the individual. And
Yeah.
I can tell from my own self, if I can't surrender something, then I can't go further. That is like a huge part of it, because if we are hanging on to something so tightly, then there's no room to see any of anything else around it,
Right.
or any of the other wisdom that might come if we were to be more open. So that
It
makes a lot
gets
of sense.
obsessive. We can obsess over things that occur back when somebody said, I don't know how somebody said, oh, I don't know how you get over this. Oh, you have an Aries moon, they said. And I'm like, yes. And that's not, you can't take one specific part of someone and say, well, yes, that Aries moon helps me in life. I'd probably be dead without it, but, or the most naive human alive, you know? But somebody said, oh, well, you get through things fast. And compare despair is what I've been telling people. Like, we can't compare how we do things on our journey against how someone else does things on theirs. And yet, when I say the foundation and the format for surrendering really does work, we've known from the oldest cliche in the world of, you know, what watching that pot of water that never boils or whatever, you know, watching the pot that never boils. It's the same, it just doesn't. And so, for a lack of better words, I think that the key of surrendering is simply a release that can help us begin to crack that shell to be able to heal the layers. And there are so many layers that follow that, you know? So it's a process. It's a lifelong process.
Absolutely. No, thank you for sharing that. And I think that's great to hear, even though that might be frustrating to hear for some people. But it does take the pressure off of this idea that we could get somewhere and then like we can set it and forget it and it's all done. It's just that
Oh,
isn't real.
yes, and we're never needing to be in a hurry. And I say that with an Aries moon so proudly, but I'm always a, no, I'm only kidding. I'm being silly now, but I definitely know that, and I have an eighth house moon, so I'm intense, but it's funny because if you see someone moving through their shit fast, you know they've been through a lot of shit. Because we build a tolerance to certain things that nothing shocks us at a certain point, but it's a matter of acceptance. If you accept, you know what I mean? And some days are just doo-doo, and other days are, I could go by the phases of the moon and tell you when I'll be in a good mood again, or I could,
Me too.
right? And you could tell I'm like, oh God, this isn't, but you know, and this is funny, Raven. And you too, Jay. I have been proven wrong on a certain few occasions this year, and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, now this method isn't working anymore. Where the hell did this mood come from? So you have to kind of really check with your astrologers, as you know, Jay. You have to check with your astrologers to really get to the bottom line of the day. But it is kind of funny. It changed. It all. Life is a consistent change. And I remember Mark said to me a long time ago when he, like when I said he can like pull your personality out to see the best in you and then help you go ahead and give it to the world in the best way you can or whatever. And there's so many things I could say about this, but when you understand, I think we have to learn. We're in this lifetime to learn. And through our relationships with others, we get to learn. And sometimes we know, hi Lois, hi Tara, sometimes we know what we're not supposed to do, even though we know we want to do it. We can't really do it because we already know sight. Where's that coming from? That's your own intuition. You know, oh, hello. You know, we know what's going on. We are more aware than we give ourselves credit for. And sometimes we can kick and scream all the way, but we kind of measure our timing, and it's nice to consult with an advisor to really get affirmed what we're thinking and what we do. Hi, Laura, and Pamela and Karan. I just want to say hi, Renee. Hi, Raven. Shadowland, hi. Okay, so I just wanted to address your great audience. But you know, I think that at the end of the day, we all as human beings tie together on some level. And if Jay, you're experiencing something today, there's probably a handful of people close by that have experienced it at one time or another, you know? And we help each other through those things. And Raven, you too. You may be experiencing something now that your best friend experienced 20 years ago, and they can help you through this. And I think that we understand a lot of things. So when you see somebody and you're trying to compare, I guarantee you at some point in their lives, they're going to experience something very similar to you or somebody next door. It's just human.
Well, to your point, even there's an I can give you just a very up close and personal example with my partner Alan. And when we started dating, one of the things I like started feeling insecure and like I wasn't at the quote same level as him. And I kept just like getting overwhelmed with like, am I ever going to be able to be at that level? Like, what am I doing? Like, I felt like an imposter. And then it finally hit me. That is such a victim way to look at the situation. Better question would be, how can I rise to the occasion? How
I
can
love
I show up and meet him differently? How can I do that instead of being overwhelmed by how I don't feel like I can, but ask and connect with my higher power with how I can do it? And that was so much more. I can't say that it's all resolved. Like it comes up for me every now and again, but it's still putting that question back in my mind allows me to be able to work with the information and what's coming up versus feel overwhelmed by it.
You know, I think that's so wonderful. And imposter is my word for my puppy, Jackson. He's all Scorpio, but I call him an imposter. It's a very famous word around here. And so I love that word, Jay. And I think you're so actually right. When you get into a connection, I can relate to that also because I was a little like that in my relationship. I knew I had to be on my game because I finally met somebody who really saw me. And I was like, oh shit, he cares. I better get moving.
Right, this is happening.
I had to definitely, I had to not, I can't hide anymore. I haven't hid from my husband in years, but in the very beginning of our relationship, I was so used to being with more shallow type of person because I was so into, when you are really dedicated to your work, it's hard to slow down. Or for me, it was. I'm married to my job. There's no question about it. My husband knows it. He accepts it. He loves me for it. And thank God I found him because he definitely embraces this part of me. And he actually jokes about it, you know? And because he'll say, if, like, he'll say, honey, do you want to? And I understand now that you have to make sure that so and so and so and so and so and so are all straightened out before you answer my question. We joke about it. It's kind of sad, but it's the truth. It is just who he married, and he. I finally found someone who accepts it, and embraces it, but also jokes about it. And the joking makes things a lot easier. But at the same time, you know, I had to not hide for the first time. I wasn't able to, and so I felt very like yourself, Jay. I mean, I felt very exposed. And I had to really show who I was in every layer. And it was scary. It's scary to do that, but it worked out. And it's working and it gets better and better. And it's funny because I felt like, and I'm comparing, but please know that I'm really not, even though it is funny. Steve, Mark and my husband have all very similar chart structure. You know, they're both Cancer with Venus and Gemini for starters. They are very simple. I mean, yeah, talk about being exposed, you know?
You're like, you can't get away from it at home or at work.
Definitely not. And I'm very safe in the world because of it. I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful. But they're lucky too because they would have nothing to drive them crazy, I think, in this capacity in one. And it is quite funny that how the world works, you know, it's an experience. And it's just really strange how, to me, I'm in awe as a Gemini. And Jay, I was paying attention to your 12-year cycle you just mentioned, so I can't wait to see what you do this year. When you left corporate America, when you said 12, 2012, I'm like, yes, coming into that time, you're definitely going to go all in, I feel, in this industry. But
Well, and I thank you for mentioning that because I feel that. But that even that process to even get here now versus where I started back then, I never
I know.
would have thought it was going to go this way. And I would have had a lot of other things I would have told you I would have thought would have happened. But I'm also to be here with you both and to be able to talk about it, so excited that it didn't go any of those ways and it just went the way that it went. And that I'm here
Yeah, but
in,
now
from.
it's going to go bigger because I'm going to push you off the cliff today. Because you think that you're ready to jump and you're just not jumping all the way yet.
I feel that. I guess for me, it's been I've been sort of finding my way, fumbling my way through,
Yeah. You're going to
and.
take more leadership role and you're going to own what it is what I feel. And you're ready to. It's like, I guess I know I'm so old now. I'm sorry. I'm showing my age. I'm teasing you guys. I just can't believe it. I was a baby when I came here to want to listen, and I'm certainly not that anymore. But I'm gonna tell you this as an older woman, okay? You are definitely going to embrace your empowerment, doing what you do and being proud of it and really speaking it, just like you did when you had to come out of, you know, like I can't even believe people still have to worry about their sexuality, but in any case, when you stepped up for yourself back then and you told the world who you were in that capacity, you know, our sexuality and our spirituality are very hand in hand. And to be proud of either or to be embracing either in the world is really important for others. And so I think you're coming into like a really huge, mature, a more steady time, and your foundation is going to build really solidly and focus on structure more than you possess the essence, but you have to capture the foundation, and that's how it's happening. So you're going to build more solidly is my hit. Okay, I know you didn't ask me for that, but no, I decided I'm sick of talking about myself. It's your turn.
I appreciate it very much. That really hits home and resonates. I appreciate you passing that on to me.
Yeah, take the plunge, Jay. Just go for it.
It's like building underneath yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We already got the psychic stuff worked out. Now we get the foundation, and then you put them together, and then you're a powerhouse. That's the bottom line. And I like that. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you for awesome. That. And
isn't it so nice to have unwelcome advice? No, I'm only kidding.
From you, you're a special case, a very special case. I would never do
that. Yeah, I would never do that if I didn't know I could. I could without getting in trouble, but I'm teasing you. Because I really feel strongly about that, and I'm picking up on that. And Raven, I have to go to Raven now so I don't run out of time. But I too feel that you had some boundary things coming up recently and creating more boundaries. And also more income is wonderful coming up ahead. And I feel like you're going to embrace the magic within you as well. And I also believe that part of your experience is going to be super spiritual ahead, meaning your foundation is coming in a bit of a different way. Jay's is more on the ground. Yours is really coming from above for real. Like your spiritual connection is going to start to connect even stronger than it's ever been. And that's what's going to bring you the magic. So I feel that with confidence, as well as an incredible amount of, by placing boundaries on others around you, you become more centered for yourself and into a place of really creating more magic. And that magic from above is actually going to be bringing you more income.
Whatever. That's welcome news.
Yeah. Because you have to lay some boundaries out with people. You do, but it's uncomfortable when we do that. For everyone listening too, when we have to put some boundaries out, I'm having fun with my four millennials, and my children and their partners. I think learning boundaries is an important aspect of growing in our gifts. Because there is a difference in what we can offer when we have a certain amount of boundaries. And I'm preaching to an old choir of mine, because I had to learn this very, very, it was a very difficult thing for me to learn. So Raven, I'm just telling you that the more boundaries you create around you in a very, and we could do it in a nice way. It doesn't have to be in a mean way. When we have boundaries around others and things like this, we stabilize ourselves and we come to center, and then we can create for ourselves. And then you can turn around and share that magic with the others later. Mm-hmm. I feel it's important for you now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kat, I wanted to give you an opportunity as we get ready to close up the show to talk about your upcoming 1-2 Academy class. I just posted it in the chat. But if you have any words to give anybody about that and what's going to be coming up in that class.
Well, I'm actually going to post a new one for our next show on Tuesday together, Jay, when we do the intuition hour.
Okay.
I'm going to be closing this class in the next day or two, because we're actually getting, I'm keeping them very tiny. I've decided to keep them tiny. I am excited about that. I'm going to create another one for the next few weeks. Another one. I want to do another one in June because I have some people standing by for that. I am super grateful to connect the God dots in there with everyone that shows up. And we actually join together and really look at how our, you know, maybe part of our belief system, part of releasing what we just talked about today and you know, not going into victim mentality anymore and really learning how to create certain things. I'm also talking about more and more, I don't want to get political in our industry, and I don't want to really overspeak anyone or go head to head with anybody, but I really don't like being like portrayed as something that's not real, because I cannot be more real as well as you and Raven and everyone over at One Two Listen. But there's somebody in the world that really goes against what we believe in, and the just our no one can judge you for your own spiritual belief system, and no one should be pointing fingers at what is and isn't true for you, because your connection with your higher power is the most divine connection in your life. And that is the most singular important piece in your life that helps along the way, whether you're dealing with yourself, your own shit, somebody else's, whatever. And I am really creating this class to hope to, bring more of that other side into what we do, to show that it's a safe space to bring yourself and, you know, to help you create more belief, to help you believe more in your destiny, to help you find that higher power and connection that you are missing or looking for, without fear that we're not, you know, here for the highest good of all. And so that's really what the class is about. And I'm actually doing right now what's channeling through me is showing how God is in every card that exists, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm actually writing about that now. So that's what we're doing. But thank you for that question.
Oh, awesome. We're excited about it. Everybody, please go to 1-2 Academy for more information. Kat, thank you so, so, so much for coming on today to be with us and to just, with so much wisdom, answer the questions and really help us all be brighter, lighter, and more empowered than ever. Raven, can you please send us on out of here?
Thank you for doing what you do, Kat. You are absolutely amazing. Just simply amazing, and thank you for your kind words.
You are both amazing also, and thank you so much for having me again. I can't wait to do it again, and have a great week, okay? Thank you so, so much. You're both amazing.
And everyone can tune in and hear Kat each week on Tuesdays at 9. Is it 9 Pacific?
8 Pacific.
Pacific on Tuesdays for the Intuition Hour. So you check her out there. And stay tuned, everyone. Don't go anywhere, because we have wonderful Erin Carrera coming up next. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.